And we'll be back. We'll take your phone calls with Amelia Kincaid in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Amelia, your book that you co-wrote with Edgar Mitchell, The Language of Miracles, where do you get it?
You can get it on Amazon. You can click through my website, which is just my name, www.ameliakincaid.com. It's two Ks, K-I-N-K-A-D-E. You have my new calendar up on the Coast to Coast website, which actually made me cry. I just created something that has monthly lessons in animal communication so that people can read them every day and come back to that heartfelt, loving, quiet, sacred space. And you put my calendar on your site. I couldn't believe it.
Yep. Yes, we did.
That was very sweet.
That's okay. Hey, before we go to calls, is there anything else you want to say about our abilities to communicate with animals?
I want to say three things. One of them is your question about life after death.
Mm-hmm.
There's no such thing as death. Spirit never dies. So for everyone who's listening and they think they have the same animal that they used to have, it is the same animal you used to have. Bernie Siegel's, Dr. Bernie Siegel just emailed me to tell me he has a new kitten. He had a very famous rabbit named Smudge. The rabbit was very, very jealous of the cat. Every night the rabbit had to come in, the cat's got to stay out, the rabbit would make Bernie chase him, and then he emails and he says he has a new kitten that came right up to him when he went to the animal shelter to get a kitten, and then the kitten runs from him when he tries to catch it. And I said, Bernie, don't you get it? It's Smudge. His rabbit has come back as a cat because she always wanted to be a cat. So there's no such thing as death. You do get the same animals again and again. And for the people who are listening and they say, how do you do this? It's a different mode of operation. It's the difference between FM and AM. AM is obviously cooler because you know, you're on it, George.
Well, thank you.
But if we can learn to switch to AM, that means bringing our focus back to the living world, the little furry, purring world with whiskers and hooves, and take our focus off of the man-made world. Turn off the television. Be quiet. Just sit with an animal and concentrate and love them and melt into that moment. Then if they need to say something to you, it doesn't take energy to tune in. It takes energy to tune out. If we can surrender completely to all that love, whatever they're trying to tell us, the quieter we get, the more clearly we hear it. When you can't hear a quiet song on the radio when you're blasting out a very loud song, and their music is playing, we just have to be quiet enough to learn how to listen to it. And every single person can learn it. Every single person who's listening now, this is a call to action. You can learn to listen to your animals.
I'm amazed that some people haven't even started to do that yet.
Well, we're distracting ourselves with all sorts of human monkey business. And in a ridiculous cycle of thinking that all that is going to make us happy. And it's all about the almighty dollar and corporate America and brainwashing. And most Americans feel so victimized. They're so beat up. They don't know where to begin. They said, I can't do anything about all these problems. And so I say to my students, just pick one. You know, pick one. Go to your local animal shelter, walk the dogs once a week. Go help out how they medicate the cats. Go do something. Now, whether that's elephants and tigers in Thailand, like it is for me, whatever the huge goal was, if you want to go to Africa, you better go now. Because
exactly.
Africa, those animals aren't going to be there. Cheetah are slated for extinction in 2015.
Oh, my gosh. And gorillas, too.
They're leaving the planet. They're leaving the planet.
That really is a shame.
And so we have to go and get up and get empowered and passionate and do what we came to do. Yeah, this is not a vacation lifetime. It's a working lifetime. We came to try to help these animals and to champion them and shelter them from pain. And so many people in America have just rolled over. You know, they throw up their hands and say, we're victims, we're powerless, we're going to let the dark forces run the world. Well, no, we're not. And we've got a very, very strong support group. And the beautiful thing about it, the tide is turning. The people who believe that we can help change the world, that we can connect with animals, that we can develop supernatural, paranormal abilities. Those are really silly terms that scientists have created for us. There's no supernatural. There's no paranormal. If one person can do it, everyone can do it.
It's probably quite normal, to tell you the truth.
It's absolutely normal. I think what's really psychotic is to not be in contact with the other living beings around you. If they need your help and they're in pain and they're sick, you should know. And there's something wrong with you if you're so disassociated that you can't pick that up. I really think, and I don't mean to say this from an incredible place of ego, but I think this is about healing. If a person is whole and complete, their heart is open, they can sit in silence in their spirit, joyful, peaceful, happy, in awe of the world around you that's so incredibly magnificent. When you look at a tiger, you're going to go, wow. You're not going to check your cell phone. You're not going to think about what was on television. You're going to be present with God's masterpieces. This is God's world. And we need to come back to God's world and our own divinity and honor the divinity and other living beings. And when you're that in awe of the beauty of the world around you, if the tiger speaks, you will hear him.
And you better listen.
And you better listen or you're going to be lunch.
That's right.
Or maybe just an hors d'oeuvre for the day.
To the phones we go. First time caller line, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, George. Hi, Amelia.
Hey.
Hi.
This is Joe in Cocoa Beach.
Hi, Joe in Cocoa Beach.
I had two things I wanted to mention. I've been a fisherman ever since I've been able to walk. I'm almost 50 years old now. But I consider myself a steward of the sea. I try to, you know, maintain a clean environment where I'm fishing. And I live 100 yards off the beach. I spend 100 to 150 days fishing on the beach. But I also work around the water, so I see a lot of sea turtles and manatees and dolphins and all kinds of fish all the time. But I just wanted your take on how you feel about fishermen. I mean, most of the fish, if I'm going to kill a fish, I'm going to eat it.
Yeah.
My wife and I eat a lot of fish. All our friends, you know, we have big fish cookouts and everything. I just wanted your opinion about that. And then the second thing I wanted to ask you, if you ever had the honor or the pleasure of meeting Steve Irwin.
I didn't, but I wish I had.
Yeah, me too.
We had the honor of interviewing him a few years before he passed away.
Wow.
Really? And I wish I'd heard that.
I played that. We'll do that at another time. We'll play it again.
Yeah. We were going to go to Australia on my 50th birthday for a fishing trip and wanted to go to the Australian Zoo, but I'm not even sure if we're going to go now.
Oh, no, you have to go.
I was invited to
the Koala Hospital in Australia, and I have every intention of going.
I thought the greatest thing at his funeral that they aired on TV on the Animal Planet channel was his father said that the animals lost the best friend they ever had.
So true.
Wow. Well, here, I'll answer your question, and all the animal rights activists out there who are totally vegan can email me and jump all over me for this. But I'm going to tell you the truth on how I view this. I think there's a huge difference between death and torture. Death of itself is a euphoric, beautiful experience. And so when people say, well, nature's so cruel and cats shouldn't hunt and rah, 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 God designed that world. I mean, that was designed by infinite intelligence. That was designed by something that's so much bigger than us, we could never begin to understand the creator.
No, but wasn't Jesus a good fisherman?
Well, apparently. And so here's my feeling for this. I'm Cherokee as well as Irish. But in the Cherokee tradition, you take the smallest, the weakest, the oldest, the sickest, not the smallest, I'm sorry. You take the one that's probably closest to death. That would die anyway. And cats do do that in Africa. You know, the cheetah, the lion's going to single out the antelope. Sometimes the antelope will actually turn back. I mean, if you've ever seen that footage, where they turn back and commit suicide and offer themselves up to the lion. So you're only taking what you need and what you're going to eat. That's a very different thing from torture.
Right.
Factory farming is the work of the devil. And I'm a religious scientist. I'm not supposed to believe in a devil, but I do. I mean, if there are dark forces, those dark forces are about hoarding and torturing the animals that we eat. Now, what you're doing is not so different from how nature designed everything in harmony. You're only taking what you need. And it sounds like you're doing that with a lot of honor and respect.
Well, I enjoy it thoroughly. I mean, you know, I mean, the ones that I don't eat, you know, I always take pictures of them and throw them back in the pile. And
but to tell you honestly, what bothers me more is to hear that. I hear other people say, oh, well, I fish, but then I throw them back. I'm like, well, wait a minute. You throw them back with a hole? They have a hook in their mouth that went through their eye? That's not very nice. I don't want somebody doing that to me.
Yeah.
But if you actually fish and then you're going to eat them, what's going to happen is that they go into the light and they come right back.
Right.
They're going to reincarnate right back as a fish.
Well, they come part of me, I guess, and my wife.
And they do. And then you get to celebrate their spirit inside your body.
Next up, let's go east of the Rockies. You're on with Amelia Kincaid. Hi there.
Yes. Hi, George, and hi, Amelia. You know what? A quick comment first. Egyptians, they used to worship cats to a degree that when a house was burning, they would evacuate the cats before women and children. And then then Egyptians used to shave their eyebrows during a period of mourning when the cat died. And when a cat did die, the Egyptians would mummify the cat, but they would also mummify a mouse to give it to the cat for the afterlife, just so it'd have something to eat. But my sort of like question was, I had a cat that had been with me for 23 years, and she was so beautiful. And I have a cardiac condition. I'm not going to go into the details of it. It's mitral valve prolapse, and it's a condition where your heart can palpitate. And anybody that's ever had palpitations where your heart skips beats, you feel your own mortality in a hurry. My cat would lay on me and purr to a degree that made me feel better than any medicine. And when you talk about energy and coming from a cat, from me to her and her to me, we would communicate so well that I would be better than any medicine that any doctor ever gave me to calm down my palpitations.
Oh, you had a doctor. She had 4 feet, furry paws, and whiskers. But
you better believe it, Amelia. anybody that says, I need to go to a psychoanalyst or whatever,
no.
Get a cat.
No, believe it or not, there are lots of scientific studies that are coming out primarily from England that have to do with the way the cat's purr can actually equalize your heart rate and your blood pressure.
Oh my good! You know what? That doesn't that just tie into it and say what it's all about? Because that's what she would do to me. I'm telling every millions of people here that this cat was better than any medicine that I ever tried to help my condition.
Now they monitor you.
Oh my God, it was unbelievable. And
yeah.
Amelia, thank you for imparting your information, because this is something that when people have things like what I have, they'll understand, because you got to feel it to believe it. But when you got that purring, and you know, the purring is like, it's so soothing.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that you can't say, I'll put it to music or whatever.
It stabilizes your breath, your heart rate, and your blood pressure. That's scientific now. One of the people that has some of the best research on this is Dr. Larry Dossey. I don't know if Larry's been on the show. Another one of those brilliant geniuses who actually started a hospital in Houston after he came back as a combat surgeon from Vietnam. And now he's one of the top specialists on spirituality. And Larry has this information, the medical information of how animals, there are all these studies of how animals in a hospital bed can stop the person from going into shock. They bleed less, they come out of comas, they recuperate quicker, There are all these astonishing healing properties, and it's scientifically documented. So you're right. And anybody who doesn't understand it, it's their problem. It's not your problem.
You know, it is just so sobering to hear so many people whose lives have been touched by animals. I mean, on the face of it, an animal lover will understand that. But most people who don't have animals, they probably can't comprehend this.
But how sad is that?
Well, but it's their own sadness.
How sad is that? If we're so obsessed with our own human-monkey world, that's why we're so busy destroying everything in sight.
Could you have as much internal pleasure with owning a goldfish as you would a dog or a cat?
Let me tell you, I did a slew of radio shows when Language of Miracles came out. And they opened the phone lines like they are with you now. And I was kind of cringing because this was still early on. I thought, oh, my God, they're going to make mincemeat out of me. A guy calls in from New York and he says, you know, I pet my fighter fish. I have a Japanese fighter fish. And every night I get home from work, total blue collar, you know, New Yorker. I reach into the water and he comes to the surface and I pet my fish for about an hour. And believe it or not, and we're going to double back because here I just had a fisherman on the line. Who's to say that they are not thinking, feeling, loving, caring, thoughtful beings?
Hey, I saw a few weeks ago a porcupine puffer fish. I'm going to get one of those. This thing has blue eyes. It has a face of Don Knox. And I'm telling you, it's real. It's human.
Well, fish can communicate to human beings. They can. There are fish in my dentist's office, and I went up to their huge aquarium. I put my hands on it. I explained who I was. They all come over to my corner. Everybody's, you know, they've got their noses against the glass. One in particular is in my face, and I said, are you married? He said, yes. I said, which one is your wife? He swims over to another one on the opposite side of the aquarium, swear to God, kisses her on the lips.
And points her out to you.
The two fish are kissing, staring at me.
Monogamous fish?
Apparently so.
Huh. We have a lot to learn from them, don't we?
All living beings can think and feel and communicate. The only living being on this planet that's lost touch with everyone else is us.
That's a great story. It really is. Hey, we're going to take a break in just a moment or so, Amelia. Your website, I was on it today. You've got some great animal pictures there. I mean, you travel. How many countries do you travel to every year?
At least 12.
All over?
This year is going to be at least 15.
Okay. I know you love all animals, but what's one of your favorites? The elephant? The horse?
Tigers.
Have you ever been attacked?
Honestly. And I never will be.
I hope not.
I never will be. They respond to energy. Now, one of the things we're talking about when I'm teaching people at home how to do this, most human beings have an agenda for animals. They're going to say, well, do this, do that. Don't pee on the rug. Get off the couch. Do what I tell you. Rah, rah, rah. And if you don't do that, you do just the opposite of that. I say to the animals, I don't have any way to try to dominate you. I'm not going to coerce you. I'm not going to change your behavior. I'm only here to love you. I'm going to listen, and I'm going to love you. And I'm going to try to get the human beings to do what you want. I'm going to fight for you. Just tell me what you need.
I love it. All right, well, stay with us. We're going to be back with you in a moment. We'll take final phone calls before next hour's open lines on Coast to Coast AM. Hey, next hour we'll have open lines, but when we come right back, we'll take more of your phone calls with Amelia Kincaid. Hey, if you haven't picked up the After Dark newsletter yet, go ahead. You get 13 issues for the price of 12. You can go on to coasttocoastam.com or you can call this toll-free number, 1-888-727-5505. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Amelia, let's take some final calls. You ready?
Terrific.
Let's go to our wild card line. You're on the air with us. Hello there.
Hi, George. Amelia, I want to thank you for caring to the degree that you have made an impact upon a lot of people, I'm sure. And I, too, am a deep lover.
Are you still with us? Oh, we lost him.
Oh, shoot.
Well, call back. We'll try to keep that line open for you. Let's go to our next wild card line. Go ahead, please. Hello? Hello? I wonder if we have some phone problems. First time caller line. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi, there you are. Yep, we can hear you.
My name's Carrie. I'm from Long Beach, California.
Okay.
Hi, Carrie.
And I'd just like to say that I'm the same exact way. I've been talking to animals my whole entire life, more than humans.
Yeah.
I worked in the industry with them, just trying to make their lives better and help people coexist with them better.
Good for you.
And last week it was interesting. I was talking to my dog and he wanted some of what I was eating. And I used to be a real dog health food nut, and I'm not so much anymore. And I just kind of said, well, you're only a dog once. And it occurred to me that maybe you are just a dog one time, you know, as an experience through different lives. So my question for you is, in your opinion, if your animals come back to you in different lives, in different forms, do you think that we do too? Do we come back as our animal, or as animals, and or maybe they're the humans and we're the animals, you know?
Well, it's a crazy controversial idea, because there are yogis out there and there are different Buddhists out there who believe that we're at the top of some sort of spiritual hierarchy. I do not believe that.
I don't either.
If we were to be dolphins, we'd have to go forward. If we're going to be whales, we'd have to go forward in our evolution. Yeah. I don't believe that. I think it's a level playing ground. I think you can come back as a cat or a lion or an elephant.
I think it's just a different experience as well. Like, and who's to say that that's not higher? Maybe it is, you know, it's
why do
it's
we even have to put the higher lower? Why do we have to put everything in a little box?
I
so
totally
there's a
agree.
Better than, a lesser than, a smarter than. What is all that dualistic nonsense thinking? Why can't we just say, we're going to love everyone because we're all in this together.
Yeah.
All these animals need our help. Everybody's smart. Everybody's beautiful. Everybody's emotional. What can we do to try to champion them and make their lives easier? Why do we have to even have those laws of better than?
I mean, I that's exactly what I think. I don't think anything is above me or me above anything else, including snails and, you know, earthworms. I'm out there in my heels.
Personally, I think you can come back as a tree if you want to. And there's a lot of people who believe that the plant world is in some ways more pure. I teach in the Black Forest in Germany, which is the oldest pine forest on the planet.
Wow.
Those trees are so majestic. And unless you're able to connect to other beings, whether they're animals or plants, how would we know if they can think and feel?
Yeah.
I know for a fact that they can.
Yeah, definitely.
All native people were connected to trees.
And everything.
Even bodies of water have a consciousness. Waterfalls have a consciousness. Ocean has a consciousness.
Yeah.
But we are here to learn from the world around us, you know, not to lord ourselves over it. And it sounds like you're really on the right path. You're already doing this work.
Yeah, I want to tell you just right on, I'm so glad that you're here with us tonight. And it's the first time I've ever called, and I've been listening since I was a kid. So I'm really excited
I'm
you're
really flattered.
I've wanted to call a lot, but I wanted to talk to you more than anybody else ever. So, but my boyfriend wants me to ask you really quick, why do you think that we have free choice and they do not? I think it's just a different experience, a different adventure, but he would really want me to ask.
Huge, controversial, and hot topic, because there are so many people out there who are very quick to say, oh, well, these animals in laboratories, well, they sacrifice themselves for the human race. That is ridiculous. They did not sacrifice themselves for the human race. They didn't say, I'm going to have a lifetime of miserable suffering to try to help people evolve. Vivisection is a farce anyway. It's all based on money. There's nothing good that's ever come from it. So the idea of free will is quite a prickly pear. I think that a lot of spirits have gotten trapped into situations that they hadn't intended because of the force fields around the planet. And the planet is controlled by the dark forces. That's obvious. We know that. The whole clue now is, how do we change that? Now, how are the people that are fighting so hard for the light, how are we going to bond together and be able to blast some light and love and energy through that darkness? Well, we are, and we're doing it, but it takes a lot of courage, and it's more about activism, it's more about passion than it is about love. Because we're talking about justice. And I don't believe they chose to be in these situations. I think it was the human race's job to champion them and to make sure that they didn't suffer the way they're suffering. And now it's our job to try to free them from suffering.
Let's go to our wild card line. Amanda, you're on Coast to Coast with us. Hello there. Good morning.
Hi, it's Maureen in San Francisco.
Hi, Maureen.
Hi, Maureen.
Hi. It's a fascinating topic. I was wondering, Amelia, about two things. One, do you communicate with animals that have passed on? And if so, how is it different from communicating with a living animal? And also, do you have any insight or comments about Tatiana, the tiger that escaped her habitat and was killed?
Was that the one in San Fran?
Yes.
Yeah. All the tigers are revolting right now all over the world. I just got a letter today from one of my students in Memphis. It happened in Memphis. And I'm on my way to Thailand, where they have these 17 tigers in a Buddhist monastery. And one of the reasons I'm going is to tune into the tigers and apologize. And that's pretty much all we have to do. That's all we can do, is apologize for the horrific way God's masterpiece is being treated.
Yes.
And they have to be the most beautiful, powerful, wild, magnificent animal on this planet. And I work with a lot of lions in Africa, with white lions, the sacred white lions in Africa. And I obviously am a big cat freak. That's no secret. But to answer your question, the tigers are fed up. They've had enough of the abuse that they're suffering at human hands. They're our teachers. And for us to put our teachers in prison is not okay. And I'm not slamming the San Francisco Zoo, because a lot of the tigers that end up in zoos are there because they were either sitting on a stash of cocaine in somebody's basement. A lot of tigers were owned by drug dealers, and the zoos actually rescued them.
Yes.
But to answer your other question, when a spirit leaves a body, what we are communicating with is the spirit, not the body. So the spirit is the driver of the car. Your body is the car. But you're the driver. You're the spirit. So when you're connecting to the animal spirit, it's your soul listening to their soul. If you can't find the spirit and divinity inside yourself, you can't hear what an animal has to tell you, because it's the God within you that listens to the God within them. So the whole clue is to try to become aware of the God within you. Once their spirit leaves the body, the energetic field is still accessible wherever it is. So let's say the cat spirit is out of the cat's body. The cat spirit is eternal. That is an eternal energetic field. It doesn't matter whether it's in a body or outside of a body. The best way for all of you that are listening, and you want to tune in to animals that you love that have now joined the angels in heaven, and I'm sure all of you have this wish, right before you go to sleep at night, when you're in a more receptive state, you're slipping into a subconscious state of mind. So your conscious mind is getting quieter. That's the time. Reach out to them with love. Ask them to come to you and show themselves to you and show you what heaven looks like. I mean, there's no other way to see it. We see through the gates of heaven when we connect to the animals that have gone forward to teach us. But that's the time where you're the clearest. Or right when you wake up in the morning, before you have any contact with humans or machinery.
Let's go to our East of the Rockies line. Welcome to Coast to Coast. You're on the air with us. Hi.
Hi. Hi. I'm Deb. And this question before ties in with, I'll condense it, try to be quick about it,
okay,
because it's kind of a long story, but my husband, who passed away, after he died, he sent me my dog.
Hmm.
And I had a feeling that that's what was happening, because I'd wanted a dog before he passed away. He was trying to get me a dog, but he passed away before he could. And then a medium, I would say to everybody, he sent me this dog, and they kind of thought, well, yeah, you know, maybe he did. And then a medium that I spoke with, I didn't say anything, and he said, he sent you that dog. And I said, I knew it. Yeah, I tell everybody. He sent me this dog. And he said, it's a large dog. It's a lab mix, right? And I said, yeah, it's a lab mix. And he was a medium over the phone. And he was, you know, he was, then I spoke with him later. And he told me details, you know, that I didn't say a word. But that, you know, I'm sure it's happened to other people. I don't know if anyone you've spoken with, this sort of thing has happened
every day for the last 20 years.
Okay. Because I have it personally.
Everywhere I go, all over the world, everywhere, every day.
Okay. But I'm having a little problem, though, because I'm having like a block of, she's 11 now. She was 4 when she sent her to me. She was being abused, and she got loose, and then, you know, somehow she got to me, and I found out that she was being abused. But they're telling me that she needs her teeth done, and I had her stay before, and now I'm having a problem putting her through any surgery.
Okay. Are you online?
No, I'm not, but I could go to the library.
Okay. I want you to research who in your area does anesthesia-free teeth cleaning.
Well, I know who does. You know, there are several vets who do.
Got to be careful. You know, I had a friend who lost her dog that way.
Oh, really?
Yep.
They do a blood test to see if her heart is affected.
No, you don't have to knock them out. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying anesthesia free.
Anesthesia-free. That's what you're supposed to do.
My kitties go to the groomer. I sit there and hold their mouths, and she just scrapes their teeth. And she said, I could teach you to do this. You go home and you put hydrogen peroxide in water on some cotton balls,
sure,
and you clean them.
That'll do it.
You do not have to knock that dog out to have the teeth cleaned.
What about pulled?
If there are some that need to be pulled,
then
you need to tune into the dog, ask her, is it okay? If we're going to put you under anesthesia, will you be able to make your way back? And I feel like she will. I think she's very strong.
She is. She's. They've told me she's fine. You know, it's her teeth. And they said that that is the leading cause of.
Oh, where'd she go?
Oops.
Still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Oh, that's somebody else now. Hold on. Let's see if they're there. Still there?
Yes.
There you go. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, yeah. They told me that the leading cause of death in older dogs, is that the infection from the teeth goes to the heart.
Exactly. And in cats, commercial food rots their teeth. They get gum infections. Their teeth rot. It causes what all vets call kidney failure. When an old cat dies, it dies of kidney failure. Kidney failure is caused by teeth problems, among other things. I mean, many other things, but it can be hurried along by gum infections and teeth problems that never got addressed because the liver and the kidneys have to process all that poison. So it's going to take its toll on the animal's kidneys. And the number one thing that's overlooked the most often is teeth. So go ahead and have her teeth cleaned. If one of them looks really bad, take her to the vet and have that one pulled. But it may simply be that you need to keep an eye on these teeth and gums. And you don't have to knock the dog out to do it.
Well, let's go to our wild card line. Welcome to the program. Hi there.
Hello there. This is Harry calling out of Texas.
Hey, Harry. Thanks.
Hi, Harry.
How are y'all?
I'm from Texas, y'all.
Good. Texas y'all here. If you may allow me to give two comments. First off, I want to tell you that I just was so interested in what you said tonight. And it sounded so familiar. And when you said you were Cherokee and Irish, I understood. My wife is, too, and she speaks just like you do.
In Texan. What a scary combination.
But, well, she's from Tennessee originally. But anyway, my point is this. I've had 14 dogs in my life and never felt the way I did until we have this little dog that we have now. It had been my daughter. She's went to college, got it in the summer, went to college, and it was being left on the apartment balcony. I was just getting really depressed, a little Chihuahua Terrier mix. I told her I would pay her everything she had ever spent on the dog and got her as a puppy still. Got her here, and let me tell you, this dog is like a human being. It is so close to my wife and I. I'd never thought I'd feel this way. George, I mean, you know, I'm kind of a big, kind of tough, brawny guy, and this dog, I love it with all my heart, like it's one of my own kids. It looks at you in the eyes, and just the emotions and communications there. But beyond that, I wanted to elaborate on your hunting comment. I really enjoyed what you said. It was dead on, and I just wanted to add to that that, you know, we were put here to have dominion over the animals, over the earth. And which means, really, when you think about it, we are the top of the predator list. Even though a lion can kill you, men can get together and figure out how to eventually take those lions down.
Well, I think if we change that terminology just a little bit, Harry, because there's been some question about what the word dominion meant in Genesis. I think we were here to shepherd them.
I agree.
We're here to live in harmony with them. And if we are smarter than and better than I think that means if we're going to err, we have to err on the side of compassion.
Absolutely.
So
you're right on.
I
agree.
Take care of them.
Mm-hmm. And part of it is that, you know, if we take from a herd, and I'm a hunter, and I teach my kids when they shoot a deer, I teach them the first thing. They go up and they give thanks to that life. That it will nourish us. And what that does is the kids get a respect for the animal. It's not just something to shoot at. When they decide to take a shot, they never take a running shot, never a risky shot, and because they don't want to wound the animal. If they're going to kill it, and they don't want to kill it when it's so scared either. I always teach them, if you're going to take a shot, take a clean shot, and then you give thanks. And that keeps them also from later in life becoming one of these trophy hunters that goes out. I cannot stand the thought of an elephant being shot just so you can mount it or any other trophy where you're not really harvesting it for meat. You're harvesting it for that power, I guess. I don't understand it. But just wanted to tell you, I really enjoy what you have to say. You're a very beautiful woman inside and out, I'm sure.
Thank you. Wasn't that fascinating?
Sure was. I mean, the clock has got us, my dear.
Oh, no,
the language of miracles. Amazon.com.
Thank you.
And all over the place. Good luck with everything you do.
Well, you've been a joy. Thank you so much for having me.
Keep in touch. Be safe on your travels, will you? Okay.
I will. Thank you.
All right. That's Amelia Kincaid. Now, when I come back, right after the top of the hour, because we've got a floating format for you tonight, we will have open lines. So what's on your mind? So get ready. If you need to email me, that's George@coasttocoastam.com. Back in a moment.